I'm Andrew Stelzer, and this is Making Contact.
When I say si, say yo, say puede, si, say, si, say. When I say people, y'all say power, people, people. When I say I love, y'all say myself, I love, I love. Thank you guys so much for being here tonight. This is going to be our last jam.
Racism. Ain't nobody got time for that.
You know, it was an armed movement. It occupied the Highland city of San Cristobal de las Casas.
You're going to cut this off.
Yeah,
right
no,
now.
Okay, no, you'll
cut
be good.
Hey, you come with the machete. I consider myself a zapatista, you know what I'm saying? You know, that I believe that many worlds can exist. You know, I believe in todo para todos, nada para nosotros.
The Zapatistas are a group in the southern state of Chiapas, Mexico, working to bring democracy to their country and their local communities. 20 years after their founding, the group's influence has spread far beyond Mexico's borders through music and art. On this edition of Making Contact, producer Alejandro Rosas explores how Zapatismo has influenced those in the United States, including himself.
So my name is Hector Flores. I'm from Las Cafeteras, a musical collective coming out of East Los Angeles.
East LA!
I'm from East LA.
All right, well then who's president?
And in this musical collective, like we're a horizontal group, right? In terms of there's no leader, you know, there's no one main person. It's consensus-based decision-making, right? And everywhere we go, we promote these ideals and values and principles.
Your history books got it all wrong, so I come to you with a song. In 1810, con el gran grito de pasión, se levantaron con razón. Black and brown fighting together on a day I'll always remember. En el 5 de mayo, con el grito de gallo, black, white, and brown bleeding together on a day I'll always remember. Really, it hasn't been that long, so just in case Cat Williams had you guessing, let me kick y'all down with a little history lesson.
Those ideals and principles Hector Flores speaks of are from the Zapatistas in Chiapas, Mexico. The Zapatistas recently celebrated their 20th anniversary of autonomy.
Several thousand rebels in southeastern Mexico have gathered to mark the 20th anniversary of the Zapatista uprising. Supporters wearing trademark ski masks chanted army slogans and played Mexican folk music at the event, which attracted people from the U.S., Spain, and Italy.
Some have called the Zapatista movement a modern-day revolution. Other media outlets have called them narco-terrorists. I remember my dad was rocking this shirt, ended up being Su Comandante Marcos. He wore a ski mask and nobody knew who he was, smoking a pipe, taking notes all the time. He rocked his radio headset, dressed in militant, head to toe. I must have been seventh grade or something. I remember him buying it at the flea market, we call it the Swami in SoCal. And the shirt is black, front it's green and red, in the left corner it says Easy Allen. The EZLN stands for Ejército Zapatista Liberación Nacional. So the EZLN means the National Liberation Army of the Zapatistas. Okay, so I had two really cool teachers in high school, teacher Ms. B, and she was really cool with some other professor, which was Agustin Salcedo. And Agustin Salcedo was a poli-sci professor. I remember in his class, he would have Marcos on poster on the wall. He had Che on the wall. He would listen like Rage Against the Machine. And remember that day, my sister was like, hey, Rage is playing at downtown LA. I'm like, let's try to go. We didn't end up going. But the next day we find out my professors went. Yeah, the police threw out tear gas. Cops just came in strong. And my professor, Ms. B, says she got hit by a rubber bullet as they were trying to run away from the cops. And I remember, like, being at home and watching the newscast, like, whoa, pretty intense. It was the real battle of Los Angeles.
Police Department, I hereby declare this to be an unlawful assembly. If you remain in the area,
regardless of your purpose in remaining, you will be in violation of Section 409. You have 15 minutes to disperse.
The connection I see from the Zapatista movement and the music of East LA is that both of these groups are rebelling against the government, against the status quo. Both of these groups are still making art, but they're making revolutionary art. Some of the names of the bands are Omeka, La Santa Cecilia, Quetzal, Pachamama, Quinto Sol, Los Poetas del Norte, Las Cafeteras. All these bands look to the Zapatista as inspiration because a lot of these band members are activists. So when they're organizing, they're also organizing their band. They're making music about their activism.
We have to be our own. Like, you know, this ain't the Montañas and Chiapas, you know? This ain't San Cristobal. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Hector is a product of Los Angeles and a graduate of California State University, Long Beach.
We have very different experiences, very different sort of perspectives, resources living in the United States. And I think for us, it's our challenge to figure out how we can survive and thrive, you know, not on a capitalist-based model that's all for profit, but how do we like support each other? And I think for the band, we're trying to figure that out. How do we exist as a band, as a collective band, in sort of an industry that thrives off profit, that thrives off sort of domination, aggression, you know, capitalism, profit-based models, you know? And that's sort of our journey right now.
My ability to breathe is directly connected to my ability to see. It's not about me, never was, never will be. It's about we. It's time to move, y'all.
My people.
It's movement time.
Some people don't even know what we're saying, but they feel the music. Because the music speaks a different language. And it's not always English, it's not always Spanish. It's a different language. It's universal.
Las Cafeteras, they've been together for 8 years. They just released an album called It's Time. The type of music they play is called Son Jarocho.
La Bamba, right? The one song that people know from Jarocho. I always tell people, you know Jarocho? You know what Son Jarocho is? They go, no. I go, you ever heard of La Bamba? And they go, yeah. I go, that's Son Jarocho. And so we remixed an old jam, a 400-year-old jam called La Bamba. And we rewrote lyrics to it to talk about, you know, talk about the violence in Arizona, taking a stance against, you know, anti-war. And there was another verse in there where we talk about growing up in East LA, you know, sort of our experience, you know. Es la bamba rebelde. Es la bamba rebelde que cantaré porque somos chicanos. Porque somos chicanos de East LA, allá arriba, allá arriba. Allá arriba, allá arriba, allá arriba iré. Yo no creo en fronteras. I don't believe in borders. And I'm going to cross them. I'm going to cross them. I'm going to cross them.
Yo no creo en fronteras. Yo cruzaré. Yo cruzaré. Yo cruzaré.
Las Cafeteras, out of this place called the Eastside Cafe. And this place is inspired by the Zapatista movement because basically it's the community organizing and pitching in to have the space open, and they teach free classes, English classes, computer classes, and musical classes. And one day this teacher says, hey, I'm gonna teach jarana, which is one of the instruments they use in Son Jarocho, and bring some friends. And from those teachings, Las Cafeteras came to be about. They're cafeteras. So a cafetera is like, I'm a person that goes to the coffee shop, the cafetera, you know? And they purposely named it Las Cafeteras, not Los Cafeteros, because Las Cafeteras is all about balance and equality and women and men's rights, that we're all equal, just like the Zapatista movement.
A lot of our music and a lot of our inspiration is derived from the movement of people in Southeast Mexico that we know today as the Zapatistas.
Las Cafeteras music has traveled back home to their roots, to Chiapas, Mexico, where one of their songs actually got inspired from.
I had a homeboy who was able to go down to Chiapas about a year ago. And I didn't know him before this. He told me the story after. But there was sort of like a night where sort of the Zapatistas came together and it was sort of like a cultural sharing. And the homeboy brought out our CD and he played our La Bamba Rebelde, you know? And because there's a verse in there that says, you know, como las Zapatistas, yo lucharé, yo lucharé, yo lucharé. And they sang to the Zapatistas La Bamba Rebelde, our version of La Bamba, and with the piece in there that was an homage to the Zapatista movement.
Since 1917, the Mexican government promised land reform, but the ruling party, El PRI, known as the Institutional Revolutionary Party, said chale to the people. They saying they ain't gonna give them their land.
Revolution.
Revolución.
Zapata.
Zapata, back in the day in 1910, and he kind of became the people's voice and took it to the government, but the government wasn't reacting. So he organized with the peasants, and Pancho Villa was already rolling around with his gang, fighting the government, and he teamed up with Pancho Villa. So that's how the Zapatistas got the name of their group, because Emiliano Zapata did. So Zapatistas from Zapata.
Hi, my name is Margaret Chowning. I'm a professor of Mexican history here at the University of California at Berkeley. The Zapatista movement is a product of both indigenous activism that grows out of the migrations and the movements and the oppressions of Indian people in Chiapas, and the sort of middle class leadership of radicals from Mexico City who moved there.
Zoom forward to the late 1980s, where a group of intellectuals and indigenous people of Chiapas start organizing in the La Condon jungle. One of those individuals is a spokesperson for the Zapatistas, the mysterious subcomandante Marcos.
The ski cap and the pipe and the refusal to use his last name, the egalitarian rhetoric of the movement.
La guerra zapatista es solo una parte de esa gran guerra que es la lucha entre la memoria que aspira a futuro y el olvido con vocación extranjera.
The North American Free Trade Agreement that took effect in 1994 opened up trading with Canada, United States, and Mexico. It exported jobs that created huge revenue for corporations and eliminated taxes on products.
NAFTA was well understood to be something that was going to make the South fall farther and farther behind, which it already was in Mexico. It always had been the poorer, more indigenous part of Mexico. And there was a strong anti-American discourse within Mexican radicalism in general. So NAFTA was seen not just benefiting parts of Mexico that were not the South, but also benefiting the United States. That belied the allegedly anti-American nationalist stance of the Mexican Revolution since the 1920s.
On January 1st, 1994, when NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, went into effect, the Zapatistas appeared to the world saying, ya basta, enough is enough.
Basta, basta. Suficiente.
Ya.
Basta. Already. Enough.
Already.
Suficiente.
Ya. Enough.
Rebel.
Suficiente.
Basta.
Basta.
Rebel.
Already.
Already.
Ya.
Rebel.
Decolonize.
Enough.
Suficiente.
On January 1st, 1994, the Zapatista National Liberation Army emerged from the mountains with weapons to protest against discrimination against the indigenous people. Over the preceding 2 weeks, dozens died as government forces and rebels clashed. Although a peace agreement was signed in 1996, occasional confrontations still occur.
So who are the Zapatistas today? What do they stand for? What do they do? The Zapatistas are a mix of socialism, anarchism, and Marxism, who are against globalization. To clarify, The Zapatistas are the people who live and work the land. The EZLN are the army that protects them. And today, the Zapatistas keep their spirit alive by continuing to teach the youth about dignity, capitalism, and their enemy.
Now is the time to reinforce and globalize the resistance and rebellion. We know that those liars and criminals who call themselves the government will never stop attacking us.
The Zapatistas have seven principles that help them function as a community. Uno.
To lead by obeying.
Dos.
To represent, not replace.
Tres.
To work from below and not seek to rise.
Cuatro.
To serve, not self-serve.
Cinco.
To convince, not conquer.
Seis.
To construct, not destroy.
Siete.
To propose, not impose.
The Zapatistas use these principles to create community centers called caracoles. There, the Zapatistas can express their concerns, organize, and learn information to take back to their villages.
Amigos de las ciudades de mi México querido, escuchen este corrido de sacrificio y amor.
The Zapatista movement has also inspired me to learn more about my culture, to care for the struggle of the migration my ancestors took to provide me a better life. Through that better life, I have been able to pursue an education that has provided me determination to be an example for my community and my culture. My name is Alejandro Brian Rosas, and you are listening to Ya Basta. Enough is enough. You ain't gonna take no more. You know what I mean? Our story continues in just a moment.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. Because of generous support from listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and South Africa. To find out how to donate, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact.
Welcome back to Ya Basta, the 20th anniversary of the Zapatista. In the summer after I graduated Cal State LA in 2010, I had the opportunity to visit some of the caracoles and talk to the Zapatistas. I went with some artists, activists, and my dad. Women, men, and children and elders were ready to die to protect their land. When I got back from Chiapas, I found out that I couldn't copy their exact formula of the Zapatistas, but I was definitely inspired to create change in my community.
Declaración de la Selva Lacandona. Hoy decimos, aquí estamos, somos la dignidad rebelde, el corazón olvidado de la patria. Zapatista, 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 Zapatista. Nosotros nacimos de la noche. Zapatista, 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 Zapatista. En el mundo que queremos nosotros caben todos. El mundo que queremos es uno donde quepan muchos mundos.
Margaret Channing, she teaches Mexican history at UC Berkeley.
There are other land rights and indigenous rights groups in other parts of especially southern Mexico, although not exclusively in the south, who have benefited from the visibility of the Zapatistas and from this ongoing sort of socialist experiment. So it still is, I think, inspirational to many people.
A few years after my trip in 2013, the Zapatistas found a way to spread their word beyond their borders. They formed the Escuelitas Zapatistas, the little schools, in which they invited artists and activists from around the world to visit and learn about their way of living. A group of Bay Area artists were accepted to the Escuelitas Zapatistas this past winter. When they returned to the Bay, they gave presentations at Columbo in Oakland and Mission Arts Cultural Center in San Francisco.
We had to sleep up on there in sleeping bags.
because they're very poor. Bats flying around over at night. You turn on the computer just to listen to some music. Bugs attack it. You got to go to the outhouse down the hill like in the country and the whole bit. But they're proud people.
That's Emory Douglas. He is the former Minister of Culture of the Black Panther Party, and he is one of the activists who went down to the recent trip of Escuelitas Zapatistas in Chiapas, Mexico. Emory is also a painter and a muralist. When he was at the little schools, he collaborated with the Zapatista artist.
These are the embroideries done by the Mayan Zapatista women in Chiapas of my work, reinterpreted with Mayan symbols in them. Recently, there's 7 images. Those are ones that are at the Mission Cultural Center.
The work Emory is talking about is a quilt that the Zapatistas use to incorporate their style with Emory's image on it. I caught up with Emory after his presentation at his studio in San Francisco to ask him a little bit more about the art he created with the Zapatistas.
So it was finally worked out at the last minute, and we were given the green light to paint whatever we chose to paint. But it was required to be around culture, education, health, and production.
Emory says that even on their home turf, the Zapatistas always have their guard up. Even painting a mural, they feel under threat.
Well, let's get under attack by the government. But you had the military, which is, they have a base in that area where we were doing the painting. They came by in a whole truckload, and they just parked on the other side of the road, right in front of where the store is. And they stayed there, and 2 of them, they got them out and had them in position, standing on each side about 5-6 feet from the truck, in position with their guns. And, you know, they stayed over there for about 20 minutes, you know, and I just observed it, checked it out. It's a form of psychological, psychological intimidation.
The Zapatistas live a simple life. They use the resources of the land to survive. There's no chemical fertilization in their soil. Their diet consists of coffee, corn, and beans, and there are no major diseases.
Well, I know it's a challenge. It makes me feel good. It makes you pride. It gives you conviction to yourself that to continue on and to make you're nothing but a speck of dust in the overall aspect of what's going on, but to make at least make a contribution of some type to the right for basic human rights and quality of life for everyone, you know.
The Zapatistas say, ya basta, we're living our own life, we're not going to be colonized no more. It's important to teach future generations, which is my nieces and my nephew, to learn about their culture, because without their culture, you're not really human, you're something else. And the more human you are, the more original you are, the more you know your past, the more you know where you're going to be able to go in life. I asked Emory what we can do to teach future generations about social movements like the Zapatistas.
You got to start with young people, and that's the thing. You got to start with the kids, just like the Zapatistas. Start with the kids. The future belongs to the kids in the whole bit. So you got to start with the young people. Sometimes it seems like a lost cause, but you got to crawl before you walk, you know.
Emory brought the inspiration he found the Escuelitas Zapatistas back to the U.S., where it influences his art and his message.
This is a portfolio, some of the images, more recent works. That's one of the older ones, kind of touched up from the 60s. Mm-hmm. Different issues. I deal with from the gang banging in the streets to the police abuse and murder going on. Reparations, all those things are you reflected in the artwork. This is one on free to land by any means necessary. 1%, the New World Order, the same old order. Man made money, money drove man mad. And it's showing all those who are in the world who are calling all the madness in the world, other historical images. Got a lot more to be done, but this is just what I have right now.
Band member Hector Flores from Las Cafeteras was able to travel to Chiapas as well. And like Emory, he brought the Zapatista message back in his music.
I was able to go to Chiapas in 2004, in 2006. And it's played a very critical role, not only in my life, but it's had a very strong impact in the lives of other cafeteras and the work that we do. is really inspired, you know, by the Zapatista movement. As you know, my own personal struggles and the Zapatistas have really sort of formed my political identity. And when I write music, like those who, it's going to be part of it, you know. So our direction is really also in part aligned with the direction of Zapatistas. Todo para todos, nada para nosotros.
Estamos claro que vivimos en la misma situación. Para eso estamos organizando y ser fuertes en la lucha ante el mundo. Para esto invitamos a la gente en cada pueblo, en cada país, que sigamos luchando.
There's an African proverb. It says, if you can walk, then you can dance. And if you can talk, then you can sing. And I believe that's for our people, man. For far too long, people have told, especially young Chicanos, young raza, young black kids, especially poor people of color, what we can't do. And sometimes they won't even tell us what we can't do. They just won't allow us, you know, like we won't get music classes in our schools, you know? And we're the generation that to say what we can do.
No te vayas, mi querido, con cariño te suplico, no te vayas.
And so Las Cafeteras, we're an example of what we can do when we believe in ourselves, you know? And we're trying to challenge that every day, man. I don't sing because I'm a singer. If you ever hear me sing, man, you're going to know that I'm not a singer. I sing to exist, and I exist to sing. That's why I sing. Not because I'm trying to win a Grammy, because singing is part of my liberation, you know? And I think, you know, I want Las Cafeteras to be an inspiration for young people everywhere, that don't wait for somebody to call you a poet for you to start writing. Don't wait for somebody to call you a singer before you start singing. You just do it, because that's what's gonna set you free. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I learned that from the Zapatistas.
The impact of the Zapatista movement is going to impact the rest of my career, because it's my past, it's my culture, it's my identity, and it's something that they can't take away from me. And I want to share the struggle of one movement, but I also want to share the struggle of other movements. And as a journalist, I believe I have the capability of being the medium for people to stand up for their rights.
Much love, much love. Qué rico. Make some noise if you're feeling good, my people.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. This show is produced by Alejandro Brian Rosas and was part of a partnership with the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. Special thanks to Ben Manila and Claire Schoen. Check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. The Making Contact team includes Lisa Rudman, George Lavender, Jasmine Lopez, Laura Flynn, Quan Booth, and Barbara Barnett. I'm Andrew Stelzer. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.